Good morning. Welcome to worship at Abiding Love. Good to be with you in this place of peace, in this place of cool, climate-controlled comfort, in the midst of what seems like a dangerously hot summer break here. Gotta watch it. Look for the shade. But it's a blessing for us to gather in this time, in this Pentecost season, as we seek to reach out with God's good news in ways that the world around us can understand. We take our cue from those first apostles and disciples so many years ago. And today, as we look at the language of belief, as we begin to unpack a little bit some of the language that we have to share with, we've turned our focus to hope. And it's so appropriate in the times in which we live and the season of life in which we find ourselves that our focus this day is on hope. I invite you to stand at the outset of our time. We join in a litany of Pentecost. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Your word for us is spirit and truth. Teach us a language of faith
that we may encourage trust in you in a skeptical world.
Teach us a language of hope
that we might shine your light in shadow and darkness.
Teach us a language of love
that the world may know your goodness and grace.
Speak to us in spirit and truth. Your word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. Of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. God, heavenly King, Almighty God and Father.
Let us pray. God of life, as surely as there is one body into which you have formed us, and one spirit by which you call us, unite us in the one hope that is your grace and goodness made manifest. Your kingdom come on earth for your glory and for the sake of the world you love. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from 1 Chronicles. Now, our Lord, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to make this freewill offering? For all things come from you, and of our own have we given you. For we are aliens and transients before you, as were all our ancestors. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house, your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you search the heart and take pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here, offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our ancestors, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts toward you. And the word was with God.
And the word was God.
Psalm 33 will be read responsively. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage.
The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all humankind.
From where he sits enthroned, he watches all the inhabitants of the earth.
He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds.
A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength.
The war horse is a vain hope for victory, and by its great might it cannot save.
Truly the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love.
To deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine.
Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield.
Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name.
Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. A reading from Acts. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God, with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
Please stand as you are able for the gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go?
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. I invite our kids to come forward.
How do you spell Jesus? How do you spell Jesus? How do you spell Jesus? L-O-V-E. How do you say Jesus? How do you say Jesus? How do you say Jesus? Love, love, love.
I think it's really interesting when we sing that song that suddenly we spell Jesus L-O-V-E, because it doesn't sound like J-E-S-U-S, does it? And yet, L-O-V-E is a perfectly good way to spell Jesus, I think. And to say Jesus is love, love, love is to put our hope and our trust in him. We're talking about hope today. And we put our hope in Jesus. It's what helps us take our first steps in life and to get back up when sometimes we land on our backside. That hope is an energy and a power. But today, I just woke up feeling great. I woke up feeling thankful because I have hope, even in the midst of some really troubling things that are going on, even in the midst of hardship for a lot of people, I still am filled with hope. So I thought we'd sing a little song, just pure thanksgiving today. Should we do that? This is one of those songs where I sing some words and you sing them after. Do you want to try it? I bet you can learn it in a heartbeat. Starts out ironically. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Forgiving me. All I have, all I have. All I need,
friends I meet,
the food I eat,
thank you, God,
for everything. Did you see that smile? Holy moly. Thank you, God,
for giving me.
All I need,
the friends I meet,
the food I eat,
thank you, God,
for everything.
Thank you, God.
Everything. Awesome. Sometimes the best way to remain hopeful is simply to be thankful. So I hope you're thankful throughout your days. And remember this little song. You can teach it to other folks if they need a little hope. Being thankful is a great way to get there. Amen? Amen. Thanks for being a part of worship today. Thank you for coming up. We love you all. You are a blessing to us all. You can go back and sit with your folks now if you'd like. But we're going to continue to talk about hope because it's important. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and he says, faith, hope, and love, these three abide. He's encouraging a mindset and a spirit set, a heart set in the people in this gathered community. And I think of a lot of American churches as Corinthian churches. Corinth is on that isthmus in the Achaean Peninsula between the Adriatic and the Greek Sea, Ionian. I forget what it is. At any rate, it is trade and ground zero, extremely cosmopolitan city for its time. Everybody who's anybody is there. All kinds of religious gatherings and groups are there. It's a modern city in many ways, before modern is even thought about. Corinth is just one of those places. It's a megalopolis in its time. There's a shrine to Apollo there. There's shrines to all kinds of Greek gods and goddesses. There are shrines to Roman religious pantheon. There are shrines to gods that nobody even seems to know anymore in this place. It is a melting pot of world culture at that time. So we talked a little bit last time about this church that was growing and struggling in Rome at the center of the imperium. And now we talk about a church that is gathered in a context that's much less threatening and much less challenging to them. There's a lot more openness and egalitarianism about religion in Corinth than there is in a lot of other places around the world. And Paul recognizes something needful among the people in that group, in that place. And he says this: faith, hope, love. These things become characteristic. These things become emblematic of the people of God in this melting pot in the midst of the world. And today we turn our hope, our focus from faith to hope. And yes, in a couple of weeks, what are we going to be talking about? Love. There's no secret to this. There is a method to this madness. And we'll talk about some other words of belief as well, some of our other language of belief. But as we talk about hope today, what an opportune time, what an important time, I think, in our lives, in the midst of the cultural melting pot that is this country, with people and religious groups and different kinds of factions and tribes from all over the world here. It's beautiful, it's rich in its diversity. But it can be a challenging place to be the people of God. And in the face of some of the things that we have seen most recently, some of the violence perpetrated on us by us, a focus on hope seems very appropriate. We've called this the extraordinary time. I'm pointing at our calendar over here, not you, Abigail. Don't get nervous. I'm not going to call on you. But our calendar over here has this long, sweeping green season that is Pentecost. That's this time for which the people of God have been ordained, the ordinary time, to live out the gospel in our own lives, to live what we have seen from the Nativity, through the Epiphany, through the Easter, through the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus. We turn our attention to living that out as the people of God. This is the time for which we are ordained. And so it makes sense for us to think about doing that and the language that attends that as we seek to share that faith in an increasingly secularized and in a very pluralistic, mixed, blended, diverse context of our own. I think of a lot of American churches as being Corinthian churches in this day. We are called to make this proclamation. We seek to use language to do it. We do it also through service, through our way of being in the world, through the way we exercise our principles of faith and spirituality in the public space. And I think maybe one of the ways we start to get at this word hope is to talk a little bit about what it is not. And our forebear, Martin Luther, our namesake, had this notion fixed very strongly in him that despair was a very great sin. And Luther, I think, understood sin in its broadest context. Not just moral and ethical failings, not just failure to follow the rules, not just willful rule breaking or lawlessness. Sin is bigger than that. Sin is anything that can separate us from the love and goodness of God. Things that sometimes regularly do. This is that broader category. And Luther considered despair to be a very great sin, not because of its moral and ethical failings, but because of its potential to separate us from that goodness and grace. So, despair may well be the opposite of hope. Does that make sense? Despair is a resignation to things as they are, where hope seems to be an invitation to the possibility of things as they could be. And despair, Luther says, is a place where that goodness and grace almost over time can't even reach to us anymore because we become so resigned, maybe a little cynical, maybe a little skeptical, maybe a little pessimistic. Just me? Read a paper. Watch a news broadcast. Look at what's going on, the realities of the world around us, in our own locale, across our country, around the world. This can push you into that place of cynicism, of despairing that things could be different. And therein, Luther says, that's where we're cutting ourselves off. That's when we're denying ourselves the goodness, the grace, the hopefulness that is God and God's love. I think hope is the antidote to despair. Hope is about possibility. In the Old Testament, the word is tikwa. And it's used a lot, many, 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 many times. Anticipation that creates expectation is kind of a theological definition of it. Anticipation that creates expectation. It's that anticipating place. Things can be different, that possibility place. Things are possible, even in the midst of whatever. Funny that the most, not funny, but maybe ironic, that the most frequent use of the word hope outside the Psalms in the whole of Scripture, in the whole of the Bible, is in the book of Job. There's a certain sense to that, isn't there? What do we know about the book of Job? Happy, delightful, easygoing, everything works out. No, we find what's characterized, what's told in the kind of parabolic way that Job is told. It's almost a bet between the evil one and the righteous one that Job will despair. Job will give up. Job will be driven into such depths that Job will cry out against God before it's all over. And yet, Job is constantly talking about hope and hopefulness. And it's filled in the Psalms everywhere. Psalms of lamentation, Psalms of praise, liturgical Psalms, the Psalms of ascent, all of the Psalms have this marvelous hopefulness to them. Even the depths of lament, the language of lament that the Psalms give us, part of their great value for us in Scripture, is to give a language, to give a voice to what can cause deep despair, anguish, and pain. And yet the Psalms give a voice and an outlet to that, and they are liberally salted. That's not a good analogy in today's hypertensive world, is it? They are liberally seasoned with hope. Psalms are full of hopefulness, even the ones that seem the most despairing. Tikwa in the Old Testament, El Pis, in Greek in a similar meaning, but more of an attitudinal meaning, more of a spiritual meaning, it seems, in the Greek uses of the word. An optimistic attitude of mind. Optimistic attitude of mind. A hopefulness, a trust, a desire, but an optimistic attitude that really stuck out for me in the sources that I looked at. In Jesus' name, our gospel reading says today, in Jesus' name, the nations will put their hope. This optimistic mindfulness and spiritualness that God is calling forth from us. And we remember from our extensive study of onoma, name, right? Jesus' character, Jesus' way of being, the real trueness, the isness of Jesus, his onoma, in his name, the nations will put their hope, not just in calling out the name of Jesus, which is fine, there's nothing wrong with it, but living out the name of Jesus is where we find the hopefulness that God is calling us to. It's where the Corinthian church finds its bearings and its foundation. In this sort of sea of pluralism that they live in. Faith, hope, love. These are the things that characterize the people of God. Is that making sense? And there's a hopefulness that comes from this, that we do not need to resign ourselves to the way things are today. Certainly yesterday. Today is a place of agency. Today is a place for us to live and have our being and to live out this calling, this Pentecost calling that God places on each of us who will proclaim ourselves as people of faith and live in hope. El peace, an optimistic attitude of mind. I was thinking about this. I was looking at the Psalms. My hope is in the Lord, in God who created the heavens and the earth. Hope is aspirational. Hope lifts our eyes. Hope lifts our spirits and puts us in that kind of miracle territory. It's sort of the way we talked about faith. And we'll differentiate the two a little bit. I think that there are some significant differences. There were for Paul because he said faith, hope, and love. There's something different between faith and hope, is there not? It's a patient longing. And patience is not a deep pool in our culture. Let me just say, it's not a deep pool in my life. I have a great impatience for things to change in many ways. And yet, hope is a patient longing. It does not require instant gratification, as so much in our culture does. It does not demand that, but is sustained by its possibility over time. Hope is the right hand of faith and its fuel. The invitation of Scripture is for our hope to be placed in the one who is grace and goodness. Some stuff I wrote in my journal getting ready for today. The history of relationship between God and humanity teaches us our hope is well placed. When we call out like the psalmist says, my hope is in the Lord in whom is all my trust. Though armies rage against me, though my mouth is dried up like a potsherd, my hope is in the Lord who gives me life. The power of hope to sustain us in difficult times is a gift from God. So how do we live this? I was amazed to find out, and I shared this at our ELEA conference not long ago. We had the Evangelical Lutheran Educators Association conference here. Our preschool, Debbie Tony and Terry Carnline, as our director and assistant director, host the regional gathering of that group here at Abiding Love, squarely on that second goal that we have, that our council has articulated for us, to make Abiding Love a center for education and information. Not just for us, but for the wider community. So this lands squarely in the accomplishment of that goal. And I was sharing with them a conversation I had with a preschool teacher who's been talking with us about, a preschool director who's been talking with us about our Mariposa Family Learning Center in East Austin. And she said, you know, I've been reading about ways in which we can teach optimism to preschoolers. And this was new territory for me, and I have to tell you, my learning curve in contemporary education, especially as it relates to the youngest among us, is just opening my eyes to incredibly to the power and the possibility, the hopefulness of touching ground in the education of these little bitty kids. What happens in those first few years of life, the elaboration of the brain, the connections that it makes, is astounding. You remember the book, I Learned Everything I Needed to Know by the Age of Five? Or Everything I Needed to Know I Learned Before I Was Five? So much of that is true. So much of the brain development and the connectivity of the brain on which knowledge will hang throughout the rest of life, and the connections and synaptic association that's made there, happens in those early years. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. That's why this is so critical. But what struck me about this in particular was a framing of, as best as I can characterize it, something of a worldview, something of a sense of the nature of the world and our place in it, in a positive sense, can be instilled, learning through play. We're not preaching and indoctrinating two-year-olds. They're learning through play, but there is a sense that problems can be solved, that challenges can be overcome, that goodness can prevail. Those kind of things can be taught through the course of this learning by play to the youngest people in our community. Think about the way that changes a young person's attitude towards education the rest of their life. I can do this. I can do this. Changes the trajectory of life from here to here. The power of possibility, the power of a hopeful, optimistic view can be instilled in kids at the earliest age. And we're about that. We're about that business here in a consortium of Lutheran churches and other faith communities that have schools across this town. And now in a new way, in one of the areas of greatest need. We can teach hope. And we can share hope. I love Peter. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared to give testimony to the hope that is inside you, because the world so needs it. Peter is talking about this as a way of being honest and authentic in the world, but also as a way of teaching and sharing that gift of hope that God places within us. And a world that is hungry for it. What are you so happy about? Well, I'm blessed and beloved by the God of the universe. Let's start there. In the face of whatever is going on, whatever we're facing individually, family-wise, and as communities of faith in this world, always be ready to share why it is there's a hopefulness in you in a Jobian world. Peter, bless him. And another way that we can live this is to simply trust in God. To know that there is something bigger than us in which we live and move and have our being. Somehow mysterious to us, but also intimately present and loving with us. Our trust and our hope, as the psalmist says, is well placed. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. As we talked last week, we don't make near enough of God's faithfulness. In light of all that we're dealing with and the struggles and challenges that it may present to us to be faithful in our own lives. And also to know the power of possibility. The fact that things can be different and do not need to remain the same, to learn from yesterday, to live today, and to look forward to tomorrow with hope. Those who hope in the Lord, Isaiah promises, will renew their strength. You felt this before. You felt what a surge of hope can do to stand you back up again off the ground, to take you out of a place of incapacity and into a place of agency. Again, you felt this. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. And that may seem extreme sometimes, and yet that possibility is at hand and a part of God's promise. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. There is that patient longing and strength to endure that hope gives us. Paul said, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I say, hope is the strength to abide until what faith decrees becomes so. Amen. Let's stand together as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Gathered together as the people of God, in hope, we pray to the one who hears and answers when we call. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of hope. It is the blessing of your Spirit at the deepest levels of ourselves. It is that patient longing, it is that anxious anticipation that fuels us and strengthens us, that carries us forward. Thank you for instilling this gift in us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We give you thanks for the way hope gives us endurance and strength, for the way hope lifts us up, for the way hope renews us and redeems us and makes us to see once again possibility in the midst of the world. Thank you for the optimism of hopefulness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Make us ready, Lord. Always ready, always prepared to share the hopefulness that is within us. This gift from you that is a gift not to us, but through us to a world in need of hope. Help us to spread hope through our way of being, through the things that we do and say, through the things that we refrain from doing and saying. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Our hope and trust in you, Lord, gives forth in our prayers. We pray for those who are in special need of healing and grace in their lives, for Morris Thompson and Laura Blaschke, Gloria Hayden, Tony Hippie, for Danny Santos and Brian Land, Keith Reach, Annie Harton, Verla Cook, for Keith Rufner. We pray blessings on Lily Morelos in the celebration of her quinceañera yesterday. We pray blessings on Julia Miller and all the family and friends of Barbara Hargis in her passing and in the celebration of her life. We pray blessings on Rachel and Perry and Matilda Hall and the Hokanson family at the birth of Evelyn B. Hokanson Hall. What joy, what renewal. We pray for all of those who suffer as a result of violence and oppression, for all victims of disasters and human failings. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lift our eyes to the horizon. Keep us moving forward and looking forward in hopefulness with all of our partner Austin City Lutheran congregations and faith communities across this town and around this world. Today we remember the people and ministry of Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Austin. We pray blessings on missionaries like David and Alicia Brandos in Mexico City, Tim Sump in Ghana, and all the people who serve in ELCA, Lutheran World Relief, Lutheran World Federation, Lutheran Disaster Recovery, and so many other organizations coming to the aid of people in need. Empower this community. Continue to build hopefulness in us as we lift up Kyle, Michelle, and Caroline, and Sam, and Philip Olson, Dennis and Teresa Olson, Russ and Elaine and Matthew and John Ortel, John, Jamie, and Colby O'Brien, Bill and Kay Nicholson. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gather us all in your embrace of hope, all for whom we pray, and all for whom no one is in praying. We entrust ourselves to your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to be seated. We take this time to gather the harvest of our offerings.
Thank you.
Today is Penny Sunday, so we sing the penny song as we gather our offerings. Let's stand together as we sing our praises over this offering this day. Your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give them thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who after his resurrection sent forth the apostles to preach the gospel and teach all nations and promised to be with us even to the end of the age. And so, with the glorious company of the saints in light, with the choirs of angels and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. With all who will gather, our Lord takes bread. He blesses it and gives thanks. He breaks it and he shares it out with us, saying, "Take and eat. This bread is my body broken and given for you. As often as you eat of it, do so, remembering me." And in the same way, taking a cup, blessing it and giving thanks, he shares it out with us, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you, for all people, for all creation, for the forgiveness of sin. Drink of it often, remembering me." And so we remember, and we pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. All who wish to meet Christ in this meal, all are welcome at this table. And those who wish to come forward for blessing are welcome as well. I invite you to be seated. I invite our communion servers and musicians forward. The ushers will guide you.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are able. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in his grace. Let us pray. God of life, of all creation, you bless us in this sacred meal, your provision for all that is needed and lacking in the world, your redeeming of everything that is broken and wayward in our lives. You have strengthened and encouraged us for all that lies ahead, and you've given us a vision of your kingdom come, a vision of hope where all are welcome, all are fed, and none go wanting. Pray with me. We give you thanks in the name of the one who rises to make all things new, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Just a couple of quick announcements. Today is the finale of Summer Soundwave, and we want to thank Josh and the volunteers and others that have made this wonderful ministry a part of our summertime for our kids. Thank you so much. It's great for kids and parents, kids of all ages, to have music and refreshment and some activities and a good message in between the services, even in the midst of the summer. Know that coming up on September the 8th is Rally Day and Service Sunday. We have some great opportunities to reach out and serve. We have sign-up sheets in the narthex on a table right out here. Please sign up at a location that will fit you and your family. There is a descriptor sheet that talks about what's going to happen at each of these places to help you decide which one is best for you, locations, all of that. And there's also, I think today is the last day to sign up for a t-shirt, a God's Work, Our Hands t-shirt. No one should be without one. So there's an opportunity to sign up out there for that. And know that we're looking for a couple of location captains. This year we're having some coordinators work with us, these various locations, make sure people get where they need to go, that we have the right kind of equipment and things there, supplies there, to do the work we're called to do. So there are several opportunities for you to be a location captain. Pat's going to be a location captain for our emergency services visits. Thank you so much for that. Very good. Absolutely. Let's be working together now as we prepare for this reaching out. And know that work is going forward on the Mariposa Family Learning Center. You are making a difference in the lives of families and children in the area of greatest need in our city, and it is a blessing. You are partnered with other churches in doing this, which is a blessing as well, so that we don't live as little silos in this world, but we join strengths. And we are greater than the sum of our individual numbers. Amen? Amen? Blessings on you as we continue to reach out and share a message of hope. And know this, when we do, the promise of the one who promises is that God will bless us and keep us. God will make his face shine on us and be gracious unto us. God will look on us with favor and grant us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Peace
of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's share that peace as we go.